Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, July 13th, 2016. With me today, John Martellaro. And how's it going, John?
It's going great. It's a beautiful July morning. It's 71 degrees Fahrenheit. It's blue sky. Love it.
I'm so glad that you have the cooler temperatures. It's already 78 for me. And we're talking Fahrenheit, people, just so you know. And well on its way to 90. And the forest fires still make it smell like, well, a forest fire around here.
Yeah, you've got one just west of you there in Netherland.
Yep. But I've got air purifiers in TMO Central Tower, so we're good. Anyhow, hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Mack Weldon, which is pretty awesome, also comfortable. We'll talk about them pretty soon. But before we get to that, John, I've been seeing reports pop up that that Apple's in trouble, that Mac sales are on the decline, and that Apple isn't following the PC market trend because some other companies are selling more than they were. And so people are making it sound like Apple is doomed, or at least the Macintosh product line is doomed. And I bet you have some insight for me, don't you?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this. I first ran across this yesterday in an article at the Denver Post, republished from the Associated Press, about a Gartner study that said that the Mac sales were showing a little bit of a downward trend. And my first thought was that this is because people are waiting for the new MacBook Pros. Mm-hmm. You know, the MacBook Pro 2015 model, the 13-inch, was shipped in March. The 15-inch shipped in May.
And that's 2015.
So we're kind of due, and that's why I wrote an article that suggested that it would be a good place at WWDC, because that's the one-year point. And it's okay to go from March to June, or in May to June. It's 13 months. But Apple focused on the operating systems at WWDC, and it was a great keynote and a great WWDC. And I think we're mostly thinking that there'll be new MacBook Pros announced fairly soon with Skylake processors, quad core on the high end, MacBook Pro 15-inch, perhaps an OLED, not perhaps, very likely an OLED set of function keys. So the question is that when these come out, we'll all be forgiven. We're kind of in a state of angst. It's sort of like the Mac Pro situation we were talking about the other day. Apple hasn't telegraphed to us. We go through this series of pining and angst. The sales drop a little bit because people are holding on to their money. I know you're waiting for a new MacBook Pro because you have a 2012 Retina, right?
Right.
And so if I were in that boat, you know, I'd be waiting too. And so then the natural question is, what's going on? Is it production problems? Is it that there's some new technology that Apple is folding in that has created a bit of a headache? So, you know, typically in the spring or summer, we get new MacBook Pros. And so all of a sudden, the brain starts whirling towards theses and hypotheses. You know, has Apple lost its interest in the Mac market? Have their engineers lost their expertise? Is Apple doing something so exciting and so cool that it's taking just a little bit longer to implement, and we should just wait and it will unfold in time?
So how long is it reasonable for people to wait, do you think?
I think we're kind of on the borderline right here now, because for the case of the 13-inch, it was March of 2015. So that's April, May, June, July. That's what, 16 months. So people are getting a little itchy, and I think that's as far as Apple can go without people saying, well, instead of, and the meme right now is, be patient, Apple will do what it's going to do, and it's in the fullness of time, and you're going to love it when it comes out. But if it goes any longer, then it's reasonable to say, you know, independent of unavoidable manufacturing issues or development of new technology, Apple has simply hosed up. So they better do a hardware. They better do a hardware event here soon in August or so.
Yeah, my guess is September.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. I mean, I've been holding off on buying a new MacBook Pro for a year because I was hoping we'd get a significant change last year, and it didn't come. So I've just been pushing this computer to its limit every day and hoping that we'd get something in spring, and we didn't, and then at WWDC, and we didn't, and now I'm hoping in September it will happen, and we'll see. And I realize that I am following a pattern that wasn't it Albert Einstein pointed out? If you keep doing the same thing but expecting different results, that's the definition of insanity.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Einstein who said that, but
whoever it was. I think they just described my current state of MacBook Pro limbo.
But you have a quad core processor in there, right?
I believe it's a quad core processor. I don't even remember. It's been so long since I bought this thing.
If it's a 15 inch MacBook Pro, it's probably the high end quad core.
2.6 gigahertz Intel Core i7.
Yeah. Yeah, with hyper-threading, hyper-threading. Well, I've been kind of on the edge, too, about this, because I wouldn't mind migrating to a new MacBook Pro that's designed exactly the way my MacBook is. I have found the MacBook to be a delightful machine. I bought a 2015 MacBook, and it's fun, and it's fast, and the screen's just a little too small for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't mind upgrading to a 13-inch or a 15-inch MacBook Pro that looks and feels and has all the technology of the MacBook, which is where we think Apple's going with the with the designs. So that would be kind of cool.
That would be cool.
I'm wondering, as far as whether the decline in sales is related to something else, I don't believe it's anything other than people sort of biding their time. You know, give me a reason to upgrade. You know, when people are thinking about replacing their tablet, their iPad, or their Mac, Apple's got to do a pretty good job of making the case. If your machine is very old, as yours is, 4 years, which is, you know, up there for a Mac, then it's a no-brainer. But if somebody has, a 2014 MacBook Pro, mm-hmm. they're going to have to be really wowed, you know, to make the change. So I think there's a sort of a general industry trend because of the world economy and the sort of mentality of people have so many devices. Now we got phones to upgrade, iPads to upgrade, MacBooks or desktops. And so I think there's sort of this emerging mentality about, you know, why do I need to upgrade right now? What I don't need to upgrade to support Sierra, because the Sierra support goes back to, 2009 and 2010? Mm-hmm. 2010. So then if people are sort of naturally holding onto their machines longer, that could be part of it, and they're waiting for something really, really cool. But I don't think this is the death knell for the Macintosh product line. I think it's just a temporary thing, and it's easy to read too much into it, and it's easy to start getting nervous and writing sensational clickbait articles about, oh, the Mac is dying, sales are down. It's if we listen to Tim Cook in a few weeks, it's coming up soon, right? The earnings report?
Yes.
When is that? The 22nd?
That sounds about right. I can check. But I should probably just keep us moving along.
Okay. He'll tell us what's going on, and we'll give the numbers, and that we'll have a better perspective about what's happening. There's always the deeper analysis. We react from a customer standpoint and an author standpoint and try to formulate ideas, but there's always the hidden factor. There's always the stuff we didn't know. And Tim Cook has a 27-inch iMac sitting on his desk with either a Excel or a numbers spreadsheet, and he sees the whole big picture, and he knows the facts, and maybe we'll get some of that information at the earnings report.
Hopefully Apple will give us at least a hint of what's coming, because I think at this point we've hit a place where Apple users are starting to become impatient.
Yeah.
And I think that's carrying over into the broader market, and that's why we're seeing these articles where non-Apple sites and just general news sites are offering up their commentary about how Apple's in serious trouble now.
It's sort of the aggregation of everything. You know, not only do we have the delay in the MacBook Pros, but we have the Mac Mini sort of in limbo. It was last updated in 2014, and it wasn't a really great update, and the machine is not expandable. So you've got that, and then you've got this thing we've been discussing for the past few weeks about the Mac Pro in limbo and Apple not telegraphing anything about that machine to us. And so it's not so much any one computer as it is the sort of
it's, as they say, the totality of the circumstances.
Yes, that's a great way to put it. So I hope Apple I'm sure Apple understands the issue.
Of course. I mean, we're talking about really intelligent people.
Yeah.
And people that are really dialed into the market. So because of Apple's track record, I have been willing to wait more than a year for a computer upgrade. But, man, if we don't have something come September, I bet regardless of what happens, we're going to be talking about it on TDO.
So yeah, if there are no new MacBook Pros announced in September, there will be a general melee.
Yeah, it will be it will be more chaotic than Pokemon Go. I know, your favorite game. We need to keep moving, so
okay.
We're going to do that. And we're going to move on to our sponsor, Mac Weldon. And what I have come to learn, thanks to Mac Weldon, is that if you have to put on clothes, they might as well feel really good against your skin. And that's what they've done. They've come up with some really great products that feel really nice. And so nice that sometimes I don't even mind wearing my pants. So they're making some fantastic products, t-shirts, socks, underwear, sweatpants, and they also do polo shirts. And everything is just really well designed, really well put together, quality fabrics, feels so good. And for me to say that, well, you know, that's saying a lot, because it's no secret that I would prefer to not have to wear pants. But like I said, if I'm going to wear pants, I might as well have Mac Weldon between me and them. And now that I say that, it sounds just a little bit creepy. But who am I to judge? Anyhow, what you need to do is go check out the Mac Weldon website and pick out some stuff that you want to put against your skin. And you can do that by going to macweldon.com. That's macweldon.com. And then use the discount code TDO, and that's going to get you 20% off your order, which is pretty awesome. Their stuff is fantastic, and I just feel kind of bad that I didn't start wearing their underwear sooner. It's pretty awesome stuff. So if anyone's curious, yes, I am wearing their boxer briefs, and I really like them. So go check them out. MacWeldon.com. Use the discount code TDO, 20% off. And if you got to wear clothes, it might as well feel really good. And that's what they do. So thank you, Mac Weldon, for being our sponsor. All right, John, the other thing that I wanted to talk about today is Tesla. They've had another vehicle crash while it was in autopilot mode. And I'm curious, what do you think about this? And first, before we dive into it, in this instance, no one was killed, luckily. But still, we had a Tesla car crash while it was in autopilot mode. So, John, what do you think?
Well, I must preface by saying I don't own a Tesla. I haven't even had a chance to do a test drive in one. But it started me thinking about how these technologies are presented to the users. And they're always presented in a very positive sense, in that this is something you should use. It's cool. And we put a lot of thought into it. And it works. And it seems to me that there's some psychology here in the presentation of any technology that has unintended consequences, or that people don't fully know how to deal with. And, you know, we see that in the phones. I mean, you were talking earlier, giving an example about how somebody changed their location code so that they could to download the Pokemon app, and they ended up messing up their iTunes library. Mm-hmm. So did I get that right? So
yes, and you kind of cut out a little bit. So I will summarize what you said. People outside the United States were changing their iTunes store location to the United States so that they could download Pokemon Go. And when they did that, it was wiping their Apple Music libraries for them, which is not at all what they wanted. And so that was a little bit of a problem.
Am I back?
You are so back.
Okay, so I think what happens is, and I saw this at White Sands Missile Range, where people were trying to comprehend a complex simulation from the outside, is people form mental models of how a complex system works, whether it's the autopilot system of a car or their iPhone or some generals trying to speak authoritatively about a combat simulation that he did not write, but has to, you know, talk about. People form mental models of how a complex system works. And generally those models work, but they're also flawed. And it's just an example you just gave. Somebody had a mental model about how the iPhone was going to help them, and they didn't understand the implications of what they did. So I think in this autonomous car intermediary stage, where we have great assistance, braking assistance in autonomous mode, and other driving aids, the designers, from my amateur viewpoint, need to be aware of the fact that people form these models and they're not going to completely read the manual, and they're not going to understand the technology completely. And so the technology has to, I think, telegraph properly to the user that here are the things you need to be aware of. And that's really hard to do, because if you're going to make something very automated and write a million lines of code to do something, it's going to be very complex, and the customer isn't going to understand those million lines of code. They're only going to understand how they think the system works and their mental model of the system. And it's in that expression of the model that you warn the user about things that can go wrong or unexpected consequences. And we tend not to do that because of commercial reasons. We don't want to alarm the customer.
You don't want people thinking you have an inferior product.
Yeah, you don't want to undermine their complete trust in the product, or they won't buy it. So there's a fine line between being informed of the weaknesses of the system as they are and allowing the human mind to cope with that and work in partnership with the system, and the customer perhaps putting too much trust in the system through marketing and getting into serious trouble, or not using the system properly. Which any sufficiently complex system can be used wrong, because customers have misperceptions about the... So,
well, to be fair, it doesn't even have to be complex. Have you ever seen someone use a screwdriver to try and get a nail into the wall?
No, I actually haven't seen that, but I catch your point. We're in a transition mode here in these autonomous systems, and the companies are still working out how that interface is going to work. And until we get to the point where we have a mind in the car that's as intelligent and aware as a human being, that has full sensory interaction and can pass the Turing test and can carry on a really astute conversation with the passenger, we're going to have systems that are limited in some ways and could possibly create problems for some drivers. Mm-hmm. And we'll work through that, and we'll get, you know, the engineers will learn from experience, and the systems will get better. One of the things I've seen, and I think I might have mentioned this in a previous show, is that we seem to be on a deadline. Car companies are racing to get these autonomous systems out, and it's that accelerated competition and race in time that is perhaps going to create problems too.
I think one of the problems it's created is that it feels to me like the autonomous driving software that we're seeing in use today feels like it's in a beta state still, which is not something I'm comfortable with, considering we're talking about vehicles that are flying down the highway and can cause deaths.
You must have seen the same headline I saw yesterday. I saw an article in Excerpt, I think, that said something like, when Apple ships its car, it can't be beta software.
I hadn't seen that, but I think that's a good statement. It can't be beta software.
Right. And so that puts a lot of pressure on Apple. It's putting pressure on Tesla right now. Sometimes it's good to be a little late to the game in the case of Apple.
Well, and Apple's good at that. They let everyone else make the big mistakes. They figure out how to fix those, and then they roll out their product.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's what they're doing now. And we are out of time, so we have to wrap up.
Good timing.
Yes, indeed. John, thanks for being here today. It's always great to have you on the show.
Well, thank you.
And Mac Weldon, thank you for being our sponsor today. I have to tell you, I am so comfortable, and I'm not going to complete the mental picture for you because I like you. Anyhow, go to their website, macweldon.com. Use the discount code TDO and get 20% off of your order. And listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.